Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Hockey in the hood. One black hockey fan on why the brothers need to give his sport some love. But first, you know the name. But what about the voice?
Tell me what you gonna do. Pointless cause you don't come through. Wasting breath and words on you. I've done all I can. It's true.
That's Layla Hathaway singing Let Go from her upcoming album Self Portrait. The contemporary rhythm and blues and jazz singer is the daughter of soul sensation Donny Hathaway. But while she's flattered to be likened to her dad, she has her own unique voice and style, which might be most distinct on this, her fifth album. Layla Hathaway joins us now in our studio in Washington. Welcome. Thank you for stopping in.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit more about this project. Is there something in particular that you wanted to showcase with this album?
You know, I really wanted to do a record from front to back that I really was creatively kind of in control of, and not in a conceited kind of way, but I just really wanted to put myself into this project as an artist.
And what does this single that we just played, Let Go, does that have any special meaning?
Yeah, it's pretty literal.
Because it sounds to me like you weren't letting go, you were holding on. You're like, no, see, this is my album.
No, you know, I think there were a lot of things I had to let go of in the last couple of years, and that song comes out of that. Relationships and people and genes and things. And so it just was a good way to get you into the record. And it felt like such a good kind of summertime song, you know what I mean?
That I'm not in your picture.
Did you literally let things go?
Absolutely. I gave many, many bags of clothing to Goodwill. I let go of a couple of mindsets, try to let go of a couple of fears. You know, just trying to grow up a little bit.
Was that a, what's the word, a spiritual exercise?
Indeed. And the whole record is that way. It's kind of cathartic for me to get my feelings together and organize them and kind of write them into songs and messages and love letters, you know.
At this stage of your career, do you feel like you have a sense of what you want to say, the way you want to say it, that you actually have the control?
Indeed, I do. I mean, it changes. I hate to get settled on something because it always changes. But I do feel like I'm coming into being that sort of artist that I have dreamt of being all my life, that, you know, I make my own records and do the video and, you know, just offer this art from myself to the people that want to hear it and see it.
What do you think's made the difference for you in getting to that place? Because, you know, we've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of artists at different stages of their lives, and many of the, particularly the younger artists, that's exactly what they say they want, and they're not sure how to get there. What
Honestly,
do you think it is?
I think it's really simple. It's time. It's maturity and getting to a place where I feel like it's okay, whatever my thoughts and sentiments are and however I want to express them. And as I get older, I'm less censored. I'm less apologetic for what I want to do and how I want to do it. And so I think it's just time.
What about the connection to the roots? I mean, obviously everybody knows your dad's name, Donny Hathaway. Do you feel that people now see you as Layla, or do you feel that people still are looking for Donny?
Yeah, I think there's both. I don't mind either thing. It's okay. I think that because I do what my dad did, in that tradition, it's a kind of an occupational hazard that people compare us, you know. But other than that, I mean, you know, when you go home, people say, girl, you look just like your mama. It's really the same thing. It's really the same thing. And people say, oh, you sound like your dad. But if I answer the phone at my mother's house, people think I'm my mother. So it's really, that's just, it's real typical.
For whom you are named and who also has a lovely singing voice, as
Absolutely.
I understand it. Your
Absolutely.
Whole family is musical. But for those seven people on this earth who may not remember Donny Hathaway, let me just play a little bit of his music, the classic A Song for You, if I may.
Please.
I love you in a place where there's no space or time. I love you for my life. You're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I was singing this song to you.
Do you still listen to your dad's music?
Of course. Of course. And every day, particularly while I'm working and working on a record, I hear his name every day. People ask me about him every day. I see him on television every day. I hear his piano playing every day. So it's not like, you know, when your grandma dies and she's just kind of gone. It's kind of, he's still here in such a huge way, and his music still influences so many people, myself included. And he's been gone 30 years. And this music that that we hear Justin Timberlake talking about, and Usher and Bonnie Raitt and Alicia Keys and Mary J. Blige and all these people, this is music made by a guy at that point in his prime, like in his mid-20s. And that music has lasted a really long time. So that, I think that's incredible.
Is that good, though, or is that hard? Because I'm thinking
it's
now
both.
As you're saying it. Yeah,
it's
if it was your grandma, yeah. you pass by, like if it's a family, you pass by a place they used to go, you see their Christmas stocking and you feel a certain thing. I don't know. Tell me about it if you don't mind.
It's an interesting phenomena because he's just always here. And I can't imagine, like, you know, growing up, I used to think, well, I'm glad I'm not Lisa Presley. I'm glad I'm not Sean Lennon or Julian Lennon. You know what I mean? I always could feel for those kids in a way because I was experiencing that in a smaller way. It is definitely, it's a phenomenal thing. Like every Christmas, it's like, you know, my dad's here at Christmas time because of that song. When I'm working, he's absolutely around me. When I'm singing, he's with me all the time. And people are asking me about him every day. So it's not really like he's gone. It's not really something I can explain. It's kind of a trip.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with R&B singer Layla Hathaway about her new album, Self-Portrait. So let's get back to your self-portrait. You have a song titled That Was Then. Let's play a little bit of that and we can talk about it.
Come on and let me in,
You've titled this album Self-Portrait, but it's, in a way it sounds to me like, I'm not trying to tell you how to do your business, but it sounds like graduation. Like there are just a number of things in the piece about ways in which you've changed and moved on. Was that kind of a constant while you were working on this, or is that something you were working toward or thinking about?
It really occurs to me as you're saying it, you know, that maybe that's part of the record. And a lot of the stuff as an artist that I write is kind of prophetic. It's stuff that I'm going through that I don't even realize I'm going through. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Is there something about this album that's different from the previous four?
Yeah. I think really it truly is a simple matter of time and maturity. I'm definitely more involved in a way that I've never been before, from the bottom to the top. It's still at the core, it's still really me just trying to figure out what this soul music is for me, but it's definitely more of a self-portrait of who I am.
Do you find, I don't know, sometimes women, when they want to assert themselves, have to be loud about it?
Not really. I'm not loud. Marcus Miller told me I'm an oboe. I'm not a trumpet. So I accept that. I've had nothing but good thoughts, and I'm really excited because to me it's already successful. I have had nothing but really good feedback about the record, and the single is out now, and it's just got like 5 stars everywhere I look. It's just really exciting. I am prepared to believe my own hype this time.
But it's not fizzy popcorn music. In fact, there's, you know, it's not like, hey, it's everything's great, you know, summer in the city kind of thing. There's some complicated feelings in this. In fact, there's the final track on the album is Tragic Inevitability.
Right.
And
thank you for saying it correctly.
Well,
not everyone does. And I knew that would happen, but
this is NPR.
That was lovely the way you said that. I really appreciate it.
We should be able to manage tragic inevitability at NPR. But thank you for noticing.
People are leaving out all kinds of consonants and vowels.
I can't speak on that, but let me play a little bit of that and then you can tell us a little bit more about it.
See, the tragic inevitability is that you and me can never be the way we were.
grown-up stuff going on there.
A little. A little bit, yeah. I'm kind of a melancholy baby, sort of by design. So that song, I had the title for the longest time, and the lyric didn't come to me until I was recording it. When I was right at the mic, the lyrics were coming to me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You can do that.
I didn't know that I could. My friend Rasan Patterson told me I could do that, because that's the way he does it. And I thought, okay. I was so nervous because I didn't have a song, and we have the studio time booked, and it's not free. So I'm standing there at the mic, like, trying to organize my thoughts, and it just came to me like that.
Must concede to this tragic inevitability.
Is there anybody in particular in your mind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's, you know, actually, there's a few anybodies in particular in my mind. And if you really break the lyric down, the tragic inevitability is that you and me can never be the way we were. That's a real simple sentiment, you know.
And it applies to a lot of situations.
And not just people, but situations.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Jobs. It can apply to jobs. It can apply to places you may have lived that aren't the way they were. It could apply to New Orleans, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fabulous pairs of jeans.
Or relationships.
Absolutely. It's all of that. Mm-hmm. It's all of that. I hate to attach. You know, I know people are really interested in what the personal story is behind it, but it's really about how you experience the music and what your story is for it. There's some magic to a story that you feel is about you. And as soon as I tell you what my story is, that removes all the smoke and mirrors and kind of shows you the trick, which I hate to do. I'm a magician as well, so.
Well, keeping it on the real, I mentioned that you were kind enough to stop into our studio in Washington, in part because you're involved in a cancer awareness initiative.
Absolutely.
And just curious about why that moves you.
Well, I'm actually an ambassador for change for the Susan G. Komen Foundation for the Cure. And it moves me, firstly, because I have breasts. Secondly, because all my girlfriends have breasts. Thirdly, because in the last year, in the last 12 months or so, a few women close to me had specific issues with their breasts. And so it came up at such a time when I felt like, oh, wow, this is such an opportunity to be able to speak on it and to be able to use this little tiny, small 2x2 platform I have to just raise awareness and talk to. A lot of women come to my shows. And so it's just a way to say, you know, let's all be grown-ups. You tell six of your girls, I'll tell six of my girls, tell them to tell six of their girls. And so just to get the dialogue going is important.
Grown-up stuff.
Grown-up stuff. I feel really grown up about it.
All right. Layla Hathaway's grown-up latest album is called Self-Portrait. She was kind enough to join us here in the studio in Washington. Thank you so much
for
speaking
with us.
Thank
you for having me. Thank you.
Layla Hathaway's new album comes out tomorrow. If you want to find out more about it, you can check out our website at npr.org/tellmemore.